This morning's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received as just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard.
This is a good day to wear sunglasses. You may have noticed with the sun out and shining brightly, and with the snow on the ground, the reflection is just so much greater, and it really can be blinding in certain situations. And that ought to remind us that if we are living as God's people, if the blood of Christ has made our sins as white as snow, they've taken away our sins, then that's how we reflect the light of God in this world. And so our goal is to continue to be a sinless people. We know we're not perfect, but we want to be covered by the blood of Christ so that we can shine even more brightly every day that we live. And that's why we've come together today, is to again appeal to the Lord, Father, forgive us, help us to be the people you want us to be, help us to grow in your sight, and with God's help, we can do that. It really is good to see you this morning. It is a very good turnout, and we have people, there are 52 people listening online right now. Wow. Let me take that back. 52 devices connected. We don't know how many people are sitting around each of those devices, but in addition to all of us, there are that many devices where people are listening in. And we've got brethren from other congregations with us this morning in the area, churches that are a little more remote, and their roads have not been prepared as well as ours have been. And we're really glad you're with us today, brethren. Really glad you've joined with us, and hope you'll come back anytime you have a chance. We're glad you're where you are, but we want you to come and visit us often. And all those listening today, welcome. Mary Sheridan wrote me last night and said that up in Roanoke, where they now live, their congregation had to cancel services, and she encouraged all of the people there to join in. So everybody wave at the Sheridans right now, and there's actually a couple of people waving. So Mary, Mike, know that you're still missed and loved. But we are so glad you're with us today. Tonight we are not going to meet. Temperatures are going to plunge again, and we're afraid the melting that takes place today may cause unsafe conditions. So no 6 o'clock evening assembly tonight. But Lord willing, we'll be back on schedule next week. And we really hope that you'll be with us Wednesday night, if possible. But we're glad you're here with us today. Get your Bible out. Let's all turn together in the Word of God. I encourage you to follow along the passages that you'll see listed on the screen. Turn to them in your Bible. Find them on your device. And just make sure that whatever I'm reading to you is really what the Word of God says, and that we are following His will and not mine. Let's get into that lesson now. Now, what child is there among us who has never heard the words, "Because I said so"? Are there any among us that did not hear those words at some time while we were growing up? Or are there any parents among us today that have never used that for their child? I mean, we're trying to tell them, here's what you need to do, here's what I want you to do, and they're giving it. They're giving us 35 reasons why they shouldn't do it. And finally, it comes down to the point, just because I said so. And that kind of settles it. The child may not be happy, but that's kind of the way of saying, be quiet. This is the way it's going to be, because I said so. And that's the idea of authority. Now, as children, we may say, okay, I guess I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. We recognize that as long as we live under that roof and we eat the food that is put on the table, we'd better follow that. And then later in life, we may come to the point where we say, you know, they were right. They really did know what they were talking about. I didn't realize it at the time. And sometimes parents were wrong. That's because we're people. But the issue of authority is what we're talking about. Now, let's take that idea and ask the question, why should we pay attention to the Word of God? Why should we follow the things that are taught in the Bible? And a lot of times we can say, well, it makes good sense. Here are the benefits. Here are the reasons that anybody could understand if they would take time to think about it. And yet there are times where we may not be able to make that kind of argument, and it comes down to the point, because God said so. That's the idea, and it's such an important idea. It is fundamental to everything that we believe, everything that we practice. And so let's look again at the Word of God and ask, why should I pay attention to that? Why should I read the Bible? And over again, we're going to find simply because God said so ought to be enough. But first of all, let's look at some examples of how God has spoken His words to people of the past and how it turned out. How did that turn out for them? Now, as you're finding the first passage in Genesis chapter 2, go ahead and be turning to that. Let's just recognize that there are certain truths that emerge from the Bible as we get into it. One of them is that God interacts with people. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God could have created the world and then just said, okay, that's done, I'm out of here. And He could have stepped away. But God didn't step away. God interacts with people, and He continues to have an interest in people. And that's what all of this is built upon. The fact that God is interested in us to the point that He would reveal His truth and give it to us in a book we call the Bible. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, we're going to find an example of God speaking to people and whether or not they listened to that and what happened as a result. You know, of course, in Genesis 2, this is right after the creation. Now we find Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a wonderful place to live. And now God speaks. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That was God's warning. God spoke. Now the question would have been, why should we listen to that? Adam and Eve could have asked themselves, why do we listen to that? I mean, every other tree in the garden, it's good for us, it tastes delicious, and look at this tree. I mean, I doubt that it was anything that repulsive. Do you think it was? I really doubt that. I mean, somebody may tell me, Tim, don't be eating out of the garbage can. Well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. That's repulsive. It doesn't look good. I'm not going to do that. But this tree, was there something about it that made you say, oh, that's a bad tree. I'm not going to eat of that. I don't think so, even though that's not what the Bible says. I suspect it looked like a lot of the other trees, except this one God said, don't eat of it. So why should they listen? Well, as you know, Satan entered the picture in the form of a serpent. He said, has God really told you that? And he led them to question God, to disregard what God said. And as a result, sin entered the world, and they began from that moment to die. Slowly but surely, they became mortal, and the effects of it have been felt ever since in this physical world. Well, another example could be found in Genesis chapter 19 of God speaking to people, and whether they listen or not, we want to know. What was the result of that? Genesis chapter 19, we looked at this a bit last week, and here we're going to find that there were two men, and we find out they're actually angels, that went down to Sodom. They went down and found Lot, who was a godly man, one of the very, very few in that town. And they said, Lot, you need to get out. In fact, let's read what they say in Genesis 19, beginning in verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, there was a message from God. It was delivered through angels. It wasn't directly from God, but it was still the message of God. Should they listen? Lot, as you know, was believing, but he was hesitating. He was trying to talk his family into going with him, and they kind of laughed him off. And so the angels finally had to grab onto Lot. He had his two daughters, his wife with him, and they said, "Get out of here. We're about to destroy this place." And listening to that message made all the difference for Lot and his two daughters. His wife didn't fare so well. She turned around and looked back in spite of what they had warned her not to do. And as a result, she didn't make it. But you see, there was an example of somebody that was thankful later, I suspect, that they had listened to the Word of God. It was a good outcome. And then one other example. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 and following. Here we find a very familiar account that we've heard many times. 10 men that were lepers. And they hear about Jesus, they cry out to him, and they want him to help them. And here's what we find in Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 12. As Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And at that point, you got to wonder, why would they do that? I mean, why would they listen to what Jesus said? Is he just trying to get rid of them, like a lot of people would in that day and time? Was he simply trying to blow them off, as we might say today? I mean, as they began to leave, they still had their leprosy. So why follow through? Why do what the Lord told them to do? Because, as it goes on to say in that verse, as they went, they were cleansed. By doing what the Lord said for them to do, they reaped a great benefit. And that's the principle I want us to get in our minds as we look in the Word of God, is sometimes we understand why God tells us do this or don't do that. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes it doesn't. By our human reasoning, we think, well, what would be the harm of doing this? Or, you know, what's going to be the big deal if I don't listen to God on that? That's where we need to remember, because God said so. And even though right now I may not understand, later on I may, and even if I never do, still, it is the voice of the Lord. It is Him that I need to hear. John Oswald, in his commentary on Isaiah, makes this statement, and this tells why we need to consider this in our day and time in a very special way. Now, he wrote these words in 2003, and let me read them to you. He said, "We are losing the idea of the authority of the Bible. We are losing the idea of the authority of the Bible." Then he goes on to write, "Why is greed wrong? Why is self-indulgence wrong? Why is it wrong to make up our own moral code? Why is it wrong to deprive the poor of justice?" In the end, there is only one answer. They are wrong because the one creator of the universe says so. They are wrong because that is not the way He acts, and because He did not make us to act in those ways. And then a little bit further he writes, "In the end, unless the authority for moral behavior lies beyond ourselves," that is, unless God is telling us what is right and wrong, "wrong will rapidly become right, and right will rapidly become wrong, as we see happening apace in our society." And that's why we come to the Bible over and over and over again, because these are the words of God. Because God said so, and we need to know what God has said on any given subject. Now, that brings up maybe a more fundamental question now, and that is, why should we heed what God says? Okay, maybe you'll agree, the Bible is God's Word. Okay, but why should I listen to God? And that's a very good question. Now, again, we listened to our parents when we were young. Why? Because we lived under their roof. Because they put food on the table, and if we didn't listen to them, we might have to find our own source for those things. And maybe because we love them. And again, you know, they're fallible. They made mistakes here and there. But what about God? Why do we listen to Him? I want to give you four quick reasons. All of them from the Word of God. They're all so profound. And if we think about these and really make them a part of our fabric, then we're not going to rebel whenever we come across something in God's Word that doesn't agree with what we have believed or want to do. We're going to say, well, that's what God said. I'm going to try to do that. Why do we heed God's Word? Number one, because God is real. Number one, because God is real. Now, when I was a young boy, I was afraid of ghosts. Not overly so, I don't think, but there were places I did not want to go after dark. And why? Because people said it's haunted there. And so that belief dictated where I did not go at certain times. Now, later, as I got older, as I understood better, I was not governed by those kinds of fears. But when we're talking about God, is God real, or is that more like believing in ghosts? Is that just some silly superstition, some myth, as much of the world is trying to tell us that it really is? Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, made a very important proclamation there. Only six words are the gist of it, and yet it is the hinge of life, we might say. If you buy this, if you agree with this, everything turns on that one hinge. He said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, talking to King Nebuchadnezzar on that occasion, there is a God in heaven. Now, he said a lot of other things there, but that's the proposition that we want to think about. There is a God in heaven. Now, we could spend a long time talking about evidences of that, get into the field of apologetics. Well, that's really not our purpose this morning. But I'm asking you right now, do you just laugh off that kind of idea? I mean, when you're around friends that do not believe in God, are you going to let them just laugh off the idea of God and you not give it any further thought? Or does that deserve serious investigation? Because if there is a God, nothing else matters. If there is a God in heaven that made us and that is telling us how we ought to live, that deserves very serious investigation. And so I'm saying this morning that because there is a God who is real, if this is His Word, I need to listen to it. I need to pay a lot of attention to that. But let me give you a second reason for hearing the Word of God, paying close attention to it, and that is number two, because God is good. Because God is good. There are some people that might try to get us to do something, and in the end, we're the losers because we did what they told us to do. I mean, you get those kind of phone calls, don't you? Here's a warranty you need to buy on your automobile. Here's some great prize money you've just won. You need to send us a little check and we'll take it from there. If you believe them, you're going to end up losing. You're not going to lose with God because God is good. That's the message of the Bible over and over again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24, here is Moses talking to the people of Israel and trying to remind them of certain things they need to know before they enter the promised land. And listen to what he says here in Deuteronomy 6 verse 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Why do we do those commandments? For our good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are this day. That's what motivated good parents when they told their children to eat their broccoli, to clean up their bedroom, whatever it is they do, they're trying to teach us good things. And God is good. His commandments are designed to help us live a better life. And isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10? John chapter 10 and verse 10. You've heard this a number of times, and yet hear it again. He says, the thief, talking about Satan, The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God's purposes toward us are good. He doesn't have any tricks up his sleeve. He doesn't have any ulterior motives. He revealed himself to us. He gave us his word so that we could live better lives. And knowing that, whenever God speaks, even if I don't understand why he wants me to do something, I say, well, God is good. I need to consider doing that. Number three, another reason why we need to hear God is because God is true. God is true. And again, he's not like these scam artists that tell us a little bit that's true, and then there's a whole lot they don't tell us that's going to end up taking whatever we have. God is true. Now, again, that's different from parents. I mean, I tried very hard when I had children at home to tell them everything that was right, but every now and then I made a mistake. Every now and then I told them something that I thought was true, but it really wasn't. With God, that doesn't happen. God is true always. Psalm 119, verse 160, is one place that sums up the idea very well. Psalm 119 and verse 160, where the writer says, "The sum of your word is truth." If you want to sum up the whole Bible, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Now again, there are people that deny that. There are people that laugh and say, oh, come on, the Bible is filled with mistakes. Let's talk about those. You show me those so-called mistakes in the Bible, let's examine them, and we're going to find it is either a misunderstanding of what the Bible says or some other problem, but the Bible is true. God's Word is true. You see that in the book of Luke. We're not going to read these passages, but Luke chapter 19 and verse 32, and again in chapter 22 and verse 13, the same phrase occurs in both of those, and that phrase is, just as he had told them. In the first case, he was saying, I want you to go into the city, and you're going to find a colt that is tied up. I want you to loose that colt, bring him here for me to ride on. And if anybody says, what are you doing there? You tell them the master has need of it, and they'll let you go. And they went. Being a horse thief is never, in any culture of any time, is never a good thing. And yet they did what the Lord said, and they found it just as he had told them. And then later he says, go into the city, you're going to meet somebody that is a man that is carrying a water pot. Follow him wherever he goes in, that's where we're going to have our Passover feast. Now, what are the likely chances of that happening? If I try to tell you how to get down to Jim Bob's and I say, go down there where there's a cow standing here at the corner. Now, wait a minute. Is that cow alive? Does that cow move around? And if so, then the likelihood of that cow being there at that time is not real great. And yet the disciples did what Jesus said, and they found it just as he had told them. That sums up what the Bible is. The Bible is what God tells us, and God is true, and we can count on it being just as God tells us. Another strong reason to heed the Word of God. And number four, because God will judge us. Because God one day will judge us, and this is the standard by which he will make that judgment. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, look at verses 18 and 19. Here God is talking to Moses and telling him about somebody that's going to come later, very similar to Moses. He'll be greater than Moses. But listen to what it says. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Accountability, that's what it is. God said, if they don't listen to what this one says, then I will require it of them. I will judge them for that. Well, you might be wondering, who is that talking about? I mean, it wasn't talking about Moses. That much is clear. Who is it talking about? Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look at verses 47 and 48. And we're going to learn who that is. John 12, 47 and 48, where the Lord Jesus says this, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that we need to be listening to. Now, all of the Bible is inspired, but we're living under the covenant of Jesus Christ now. And so what he says is of special significance for us. And yet if we don't listen, if we don't obey him, we're going to be judged. Now, all the students that are among us this morning, whether it be in elementary, middle, high school, college, medical school, whatever it is, you're going to be tested now and then, aren't you? And don't you like to know what is going to be on the test? What material is going to be covered on the test? And that way you have a chance to prepare for it. Jesus is telling us, here's what's going to be on the test. My words. Doesn't it mean that we ought to be studying them carefully and living by them? You see, the Word of God has been given to us because God is real, because God is good, because God is true, because God will one day judge us. In Hebrews chapter 2, it sums up all that we've been talking about. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 1, what was read for us earlier today. The writer there says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. He's talking about the words that have come to us through Jesus and through his apostles and the inspired writers. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? God wants us to escape. That's why he gave us the Word of God. It pays for us to give heed. I want to close with one other incident found in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And again, you know this well, but look at a particular thing that is said there. Luke chapter 5, we're told earlier in the chapter that Jesus was teaching. The crowds were so large, they were about to push him into the water. He was standing by the Sea of Galilee. And so he got into a boat, a fishing boat that belonged to Peter. Peter and the others had been out all night. They were getting things ready to go home and catch a little sleep. But Jesus said, can I use your boat? And Peter said, sure. And I can only imagine that Peter must have been kind of dozing while Jesus was talking. I mean, he had been up all night, and the gentle rocking of the waves. And yet, after Jesus finishes, look at what it says. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, wait a minute. This is a carpenter telling me, a professional fisherman, how to go about my business. Why should I listen to him? Well, read on. Verse 5. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. I mean, his immediate impulse is to say, we know what we're doing. There's no fish out there right now. It'd be a waste of our time, but that doesn't end yet. He goes on to say, but at your word, I will let down the nets. What caused Peter to do something he did not understand, he did not really want to do? What made him do that? at your word, I will let down the nets. And he reaped one of the greatest rewards he had ever known as a fisherman because he listened to Jesus. That's the point this morning. There's going to be a lot of times when we're going to the Word of God and we say, well, I don't really get this. This is not what I've always thought. This is not what I was taught while I was growing up. And I just don't know if I should believe that or not. If it's taught by the Word of God, friend, believe it. Because God says so. In time, you may come to understand why He says so. But even if you don't, it's still because God said so. You can trust God. When He tells you to come and become a follower of His Son Jesus, you can trust God. And we hope you'll do that this morning if you're not yet. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to the point where you would say, I'm ready to turn away from sin. You tell me what sin is, God. I will repent of it. I will not do it again. And if you believe Him enough to say, I'll confess Him before other people, I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus. And if you'll let someone baptize you, your sins will be forgiven. That's what the Word of God says. A lot of people balk at that. And they say, well, I don't know if that would really work or not. Friend, God says so. And that's reason enough. And then follow Him. Keep on following the Lord. And if at any point you have fallen away, chosen to go back into sin, come home. Because the Lord says so. He'll forgive you of your sins. If you'll repent and pray for forgiveness. And we'll pray with you this morning. We'll help you, whatever we can do. Come as we stand and sing.